Just a few lessons into John, the mission of Jesus. Tonight we back up just a few lessons into John chapter 15, where Jesus is still at after supper. He took some time to teach and to remind his disciples that his time had come, and he encourages them with a teaching to remain in him. This is a familiar passage. If you'd like to follow along, it's John chapter 15, and it is entitled, The Vine and the Branches. I'll begin at verse 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let us pray. Father God, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we gather this evening to hear from you and not from me, to hear of your words, both preserved for us in the scriptures and proclaimed to you from this pulpit. Speak to us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, for he is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday. All of these are days within the season of Lent. They are days in which we as Christians reflect and think about our Christian belief, biblical truths, theology that reminds us of what it means to be a Christian. But I tell you this evening that not one of these days, not one of these observances throughout the season of Lent means a darn thing unless you are in Christ. Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is a man-made holiday. None of these special days in the season of Lent. Lent is a season that is man-made, church-made, coined by popes and fathers of our faith. They're wonderful celebrations of what we view to be true to our Christian faith. But again, they are just like any other day if you are not in Christ. Ash Wednesday is a day in which we take ashes, traditionally ashes from the palms that have been burned from the season of Lent prior, and we use those ashes to impose a cross in many traditions upon our forehead to remind us of a number of things, things that are true within our faith and our walk with Jesus, things such as from the ground we were made and to the ground we will return, that none of us live and breathe without the very air and breath that God has given us, that we are, as the scriptures teach us, apart from God, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Palm Sunday. Another glorious day within the life of the church and the Christian tradition into Jerusalem, on a day in which we recognize that Christ rode into Jerusalem on a humble donkey and was hailed as the king. Not the type of king that many wanted him to be, but the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, whose kingdom would be eternal and not earthly. But this day of Palm Sunday means nothing if Christ is not your king. Christ is not your Lord. It's just another day. Maundy Thursday, today, tonight, here we are, commemorating that last evening that Jesus spent with his disciples when he sat around table. And after supper had ended, Jesus continued the evening teaching in many words, as John records for us. We give this night the word Maundy because that word means commandment. And it was that night, after the supper had been shared, that Jesus told his disciples, "A new commandment I give you." And the commandment was this: love one another as I have loved you. A commandment that means nothing if you don't seek after Christ. What point is it for you to love and follow this command as Jesus loved if Jesus is not your Christ, your Lord? Good Friday, tomorrow. A day in which we have sort of put a nice little positive spin on a tragic, terrifying, horrific death. Good Friday is the day in which we remember that Jesus died a painful death on the cross, where he hung until he was breathless, speared, beaten, and mocked. There is nothing good at all about this horrific scene, unless Christ is in you. Because what that means then, if Christ is in you, then his death is in place of you. And on any account, when someone who's willing to die for me, I consider that to be good thing. But it's not a good Friday if you are not in Christ. The other interesting thing about all of these observances that we have throughout this season of Lent is that you will find nothing in this book here commanding us or prescribing us to observe these as special days. There's no question that what we celebrate throughout the season of Lent and throughout here now Holy Week are events and truths that we find within the Scriptures, but these days that we set aside to gather for worship and to commemorate and remember certain things about our faith are not prescribed whatsoever by Jesus. And in fact, I would add to that list a one Christmas celebration and Easter celebration. Those two neither are prescribed for us as holy days in which we shall observe. There was one day prescribed by Jesus, though. There was one event in which Jesus said to his disciples to do so in remembrance of him. And it happened to follow on a day that the faith of Jesus prescribed for him. It was called the Passover. It was the Passover celebration, a celebration that you will find prescribed throughout the Scriptures as one to celebrate, in which Jesus sat with his disciples at table, and he completely revolutionized and altered their thinking forever about that feast that they had always and annually celebrated. You see, the disciples were fully expecting Jesus to give a lesson about the Passover lamb and its sacrifice and the blood of the lamb that was put on the doorposts. And how when that blood on the doorposts spared the lives of all of those in Israel, fully expecting to recount that story, Jesus says to his disciples, I give you now a new covenant, that it is my blood that is poured out for you. That when the wrath of God comes to claim those who are not in his presence or in communion with him, that God's wrath will pass over you when you are marked with my blood. And it is my body that will be broken for you. I am now the Passover, Jesus exclaims to them. And you know what? That means not a darn thing. This is just bread and juice, wine if we were lucky. If you are not in Christ. Folks, it's all rubbish. It's all nonsense. Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Christmas morning. Nothing. As my dad says when his birthday rolls around once a year and I call him to wish him happy birthday, he says, just another day. Yeah. This stuff, these days, just another day if you are not in Christ. You see, on this night that Jesus had this occasion with his disciples, and he knew that his hour had come and that he would be leaving them, leaving this world, walking through the valley of shadow of death, resurrecting and eventually departing and ascending into heaven where we would no longer be with him or see him. He teaches the disciples. He goes out of his way to say, my time has come, I'm about to leave you, but what I am commanding you now and teaching you now is that you remain in me. How many times did he say that in just a few short sentences? Verse 4, remain in me. Again in verse 4, remain in me. In verse 5, remain in me. In verse 5, again, remain in me. In verse 6, remain in me. In verse 7, remain in me. Jesus is exclaiming and saying that though I am leaving you, you remain in me. So many times we want to talk about Jesus living in us. Isn't that what we teach our children? Have you accepted Jesus into your life? Have you professed Jesus as Lord? Is Christ in you? As if we can contain him in somehow our head or our mind or our spirit or our soul. Whatever department in our human body are we to put Christ in? To me, that sounds somewhat nonsense at times. It's sort of easy to remember, and it's catchy, and it helps children, and I understand that. I understand why we've used that language in the evangelical church, especially since the missionary movements of the early 1900s, where we're seeking and asking and declaring and encouraging people to accept Christ into their lives. But what Jesus is saying here is, remain in me. Now that's a different way of thinking about it, isn't it? It's not that Christ is somehow received into us and we have him in our nice little box. What Jesus is saying here is, no, all of you, I want all of you in me. That's good. That completely takes your faith from, oh yeah, I have faith and it's in me, and God, I'm with God because I have Jesus in me, to saying, no, you know what? I'm in God. I'm into Jesus. I'm all of me is into him. And that's powerful, because when you think about him on the cross, it's like a light bulb. Wait a minute. If I am in him, guess what he's doing for me up there? He's dying for me. And if I'm in him in the grave and he resurrects from the grave and I'm in him, guess what? I am now resurrected in him. It makes far more sense to me to think about our faith as being in Jesus rather than us having faith in Jesus. Us having Jesus in our hearts. Or are you in Jesus? So tonight, friends, as we gather to remember Jesus, it's not that we're just remembering him here, up here, and in here. By partaking of this bread and drinking of this cup, it's more than just remembering him. It's an outward sign in which we partake in him. When we partake of this bread, it's as if we're saying we are in the body of Christ. When we take of this cup, it's like saying we are in the body of Christ, whose blood has been poured out for us. So don't put your faith in the holidays of our Christian year. Lent, Advent, Easter Sunday, Christmas. Don't put your hope in just bread and cups and special days. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Put your faith, all of your life, in Jesus. Remain in him. Amen. Let us pray. Father God Almighty, as the ground springs forth from life, I am mindful of all that has withered away over the winter. The dried grass, the withered fields, the broken twigs and sticks that I pick up in my yard. All of it, Lord, lifeless, because it has broken away from its source of life. Lord, tonight as we gather around this table, we recognize you as the source of all life and we call it good. We confess, Lord, the times in which we have broken away from you, in which we have followed our own way in the desires of our own hearts, instead of walking in the way of Christ and seeking our hearts to desire you. So, Lord, we come to this table this evening with repentance and gratitude that through this bread and through this cup, in this bread and in this cup, represents for us the body and blood of Christ. And by taking a part of it and putting it in our mouths, we are visually acting out the truth that we are in you and that in you we have life and that this life bears fruit. And so, Lord, for all who come this evening, may they see this more than just a special night of the week, more than just bread and a cup. But Lord, may we all see this as our way to be in you. This we pray in Jesus' name.